When parents get divorces, courts get involved, determining such things as custody and visiting rights. But in some cases, judges have gone further and appointed themselves arbiters of what parents can and cannot say to their children. They've ordered parents not to discuss religion or expose a child to what one court calls non-mainstream religious beliefs and rituals. UCLA law professor Eugene Volokh wrote this week in an article in the Los Angeles Times that such rulings can be troublesome. Professor Volokh joins us now from our studios at NPR West. Thanks very much for being with us, Professor.
Thanks for having me.
And there's a specific case that prompted your thinking.
Yeah, that's right. It's a New York case involving a couple who, during their marriage, seemed to be Muslims of a sort. And the father was a believer in jihad and a believer apparently in violent holy war. He was also prosecuted for possessing various illegal weapons. He went to prison. He's now out of prison. He's about to finish his probation period. And he wants a visitation with his children. Mm-hmm. And the court ultimately concluded that he should have visitation despite his criminal record. But they ordered him not to discuss his religion or his religious philosophy with the children. Mm. And the question is, even assuming, which I think is a pretty plausible assumption, that it's not in the child's best interest to hear these kinds of religious views from a father, does the First Amendment nonetheless stand in the way of that kind of order? Does the First Amendment say, look, it's not up to courts to decide what's in the best interest of the child to hear from a parent, and that parents are entitled to say certain things to children because the First Amendment allows parents to communicate with their children?
I think there are a lot of people who are just hearing about this case. We're talking about somebody who had an arsenal of weapons in the home, someone who has been accused by his former wife of beating her. The child has a vested interest in not having a parent who says you should grow up to use weapons on people because that's part of what we believe.
The difficulty is that a lot of parents teach their children a lot of things that at least are hypothetically and contingently supporting of violence. A parent might teach a child the importance of fighting for his country. Mm-hmm. A parent might teach a child the importance of using self-defense to defend his life. So all of us teach in some measure some things that may come to the borderline of the law, even go beyond what the law allows. And potentially all of our speech could be restrained this way if we get divorced.
Now, you've got a whole welter of examples in this article. You have one parent told that I believe he or she shouldn't deliver homophobic remarks, and yet you have another parent that's told that they should do nothing to take their child into an atmosphere that promotes homosexuality. It seems to be in a number of directions.
Well, that's right, because remember, the standard the courts are applying is what's in the best interest of the child. Mm-hmm. And each judge will have a different view, depending on who the judge is, perhaps depending on the time and place in which he lives. So there really will be a lot of variety, and it's quite unpredictable.
Are what amount to these judicial gag orders of parents increasing?
It's very hard to tell because nobody keeps track of the numbers. This is all done in state-by-state basis, often courtroom-by-courtroom basis. It does seem that in different decades, different kind of speech is being disfavored, as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. So there are cases from the 30s and 50s where judges said, well, we can't leave this child with this communist parent. Likewise, it used to be pretty commonplace for judges to say, well, you can't expose your child to any pro-homosexual speech. And now we're seeing a little bit of the other direction. You can't expose your child to anti-homosexuality speech. But again, the First Amendment is generally understood as saying that you have a right to say things despite what social attitudes might be. Many people, I suspect, would give up all their other First Amendment rights for the right to convey their ideas, their sense of what is right to their children. Mm. For many people, it's actually their most important exercise of their free speech.
Is what you outline all the more argument for when divorce occurs, it's always healthier for parents to work out their own agreements than to leave it to the courts?
Well, reading all of these divorce cases reminded me of the importance to stay married. But indeed, if unfortunately divorce does happen, then I think many parents, if they can agree to something that's their own doing, it's much better for them to agree to it, recognizing that it'll be legally bound to it, than to throw it in front of a judge where the judge could impose his own idiosyncratic views of what's right and wrong and impose a wide range of other restrictions that the parents may not even have bargained for.
Eugene Volokh, professor of constitutional law at UCLA, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks very much for having me.